The Haggadah is a text that we engage and have engaged over many generations. And this text, if you think about it, it has been in every conceivable circumstance of Jews over the past centuries. And when we sit down with this text at the Seder and we say, Chayav Adam Liros Esatzmo, or according to some, Chayav Adam Laharos Esatzmo, the Rambam's opinion, Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Atam Yeshivat Mitzrayim, that the person is literally going through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then we have to ask ourselves, how does the Haggadah relate to the reality that we are in today? Right, the Rebbe Shlom is giving us a roadmap, so to speak, of Golos to Geula, of exile to redemption. And in every generation, we're thinking about this. We should be thinking about this. The Rebbe Shlom is not just, you know, disappearing from history. He is part of history. He's moving history forward, but he's in every historical moment. So when we think about the story of the Haggadah, the impact of the Haggadah on a specific period, and the story of going from Shibud to Geula, so we need to think about it in the current context in which a person finds themselves. And of course, people have reflected on that from their perspective of where they have been. Right? Think about the way that someone read the Haggadah in the Warsaw Ghetto versus their perspective on the Haggadah, their experience of the Haggadah in the golden age of Muslim Spain, or in the times of the Gemara, like every tkufa. So what about thinking about the Haggadah or the messages of the Haggadah in our tkufa, in our time, when we find ourselves in this amazing, fantastic, miraculous, supernatural, challenging, complicated, disappointing, anticipatory time in the state of Jewish history where we are now, where the Rebbe Shlom has given us a land, a return, Shivas Zion, with independence. We have a special guest here who is on loan from the land of Israel, from Eretz Yisrael Mamish. And yet we're not exactly at the end game of the process of Geula. How do I know? Because in the Dayenu, the last step in the process of all those Dayenu is Bana Lanu Mesbeis HaBechira, built the Beis HaMikdash. We're not there yet. We have many beautiful, wonderful things, but we're not quite there. So how do we think about the process of going to the Geula today, when the Geula is unfolding in this chaotic, unprecedented, strange, but also thrilling way? So maybe that's a way to think about the Haggadah. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to reflect on 10 yesodos, 10 principles, which is what we usually do when we do this. But specifically, these are related to thinking about and discussing ways that we can approach the ideals and the ideals of Geula Bizman Hazeh. So these are pertinent to the Seder. They're themes to think about at the Seder, but they're really, really themes that the Seder can help us think about more broadly. So the first place to begin is obviously when we verbalize that we hope and we plan and we pray next year to be in Yerushalayim. Hashata hacha, l'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael, l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habanuya. That's the way we begin the Seder, with halach ma'anya. And that's the way we're going to end the Seder. That's the goal, to be next year in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a great Talmud Chacham. He lived in the 1950s. I mean, he lived from before the war until I think he died in the late 70s. His name was Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher. Rav Kasher was one of the great rabbinic luminaries in the United States, because after he ran away from Poland, he was in Israel for a period of time. He came to America. Oh, yes, so you have this. You saw this. Rav Kasher's Haggadah is called the Haggadah Shlema. You know this Haggadah?
I know the man.
Oh, amazing. Rav Kasher. Then he made Aliyah to Israel. He won the Israel Prize. He was a Gaon Adir. He was a certified genius, no question. Before Bar Ilan, he wrote the Torah Shlema commentary on the Chumash, certified genius. But guess what? Are you ready for this? He wrote a second Haggadah. A second Haggadah, which is called Haggadas Pesach Eretz Yisraelis. The Eretz Yisrael Dika Haggadah. The Haggadah for the modern Jew who lives through the miracle of the State of Israel. So this Gaon, Rav Kasher, wrote a sefer called Kol HaTor, where HaTkufa Gdola, excuse me, where he talks all about the different opinions in Ma'amari Chazal. So he made a Haggadah reflecting on the great miracle of the founding of the State of Israel, the Yishuv. What does it mean for us? So he quotes in that Haggadah on this passage from Rav Moshe ben Machir, one of the Rishonim, Im ka'esanu avodim l'shana haba niya b'nei chorim be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Why? Ki Yeshuas Hashem keheref ayim. God could save us in a moment. In the blink of an eye. Unekala zos ha-gu'ula harbe migulas Mitzrayim. It's much easier than the gu'ula of Mitzrayim. Says Rav Moshe ben Machir, ve'efshar lo lios al pi ha-teva. It could be natural. Could be natural. Ve'in tzarech kol kach l'shanos sidrei bereishis v'sidra amarachos mashalo hayakim b'yitzis Mitzrayim. It could be that, guess what? A ragtag band of Jews is going to come on ships, broken rafts. They're going to get some arms from Czechoslovakia and other places. They're going to form a government. They're going to fight for their independence. They're going to build through the natural means. So he says, kiviyachol, so to speak, it's not so tough for the Rebbe Shalom. He doesn't have to do all these miracles. When we say Lashana Habab, B'nei Chorin, Lashana Habab, Ba'arat Yisrael, we mean that what's happening in front of our eyes, that when Rav Moshe ben Machir wrote this, he never would have dreamed he would see, and he never saw, but we see, it's possible that the natural phenomenon that we're seeing is the unfolding of the Geula. And that maybe next year, really, maybe next year, this is going to be it. So you're going to say to me, but I don't understand. Nebuch, there are so many challenges, and we're so stressed from things that are going on, and so many people are far from Yiddishkeit, so we know there's a big machlokas, an old debate in the Gemara about whether we're going to return in tshuva at the end, or there's going to be gula without tshuva, right? We know there's a big machlokas in the Gemara. But the whole idea that achaka lo b'chol yom sheyavo, today is Sunday, Yud Aleph Nisan, so we have to believe, achakalo b'chol yom she'ovo, Ken Zayin, it's possible Mashiach could come this morning, could come this afternoon. And it would be very convenient because we could still make it in time for Yantiv. So how is that possible? With all of the fissures, all of the challenges, how is it possible that we really believe that we're going to be ready this afternoon? How is everybody going to kasher the whole kitchens? We're going to have to find all the Reformed Jews and explain it to them all in 5 seconds. So Rav Kook had a disciple, a close chaver, Talmud chaver, who was the successor of Rav Kook as the Rosh Yeshiva and Rav Kook's Yeshiva in Merkaz HaRav, in Yeshiva Merkazita Olamid. After there was a different Rosh Yeshiva who was for a very brief period of time, who died shortly after only a couple of months in the yeshiva. But his successor, the Rav of the Shari Chesed neighborhood of Yerushalayim, was Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. And Rav Chalap was a Yedid Nefesh of Rav Kook. He was one of the closest of the Talmidim. Rav Chalap came, I got it. Rav Chalap came to, he came to Yafo when Rav Kook made Aliyah to spend Yontif with him on Shavuos, right after he arrived in the Chaf Ches Iyar. He said, he described later on, that listening to Rav Kook recite Akdamos ignited his soul. And from that moment, he became Davak to Rav Kook. So he has a lot of the teachings of Rav Kook that are related to Torah Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So there are several volumes of his teachings that were collected in a series called Mei Marom. May is because it's Rosh Hashanah's Mem Yud Yaakov Moshe, Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. So Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap in the May Morim in Oriv Yishi, in his volume on the Yom HaNoram, the High Holidays, has absolutely astonishing, amazing pshat. What does it mean that the Mashiach could come at any moment? How are we going to merit that? He says, look, we all know that the Jewish people, we operate on two planes. We have the level of the Yachid, the individual, and then you have the level of the Tzibur, of the collective. On the level of the Tzibur, we have a principle, Lo Hibit Oven B'Yakov. Knesset Yisrael, the collective as a whole, is the mirror image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's based on the Zohar HaKadosh. That is unblemished. That level of Knesset Yisrael is perfect. That's always Roy for Geula. He says, what's the challenge? We operate in a level of smallness where we're on the level of the individual. Rav Chalap says, if at any moment we all decided that we were going to connect to the Tzibur, to something greater, we would instantly be Kulo Zakai. When you become part of the Tzibur, you're Kulo Zakai. That's what it means. Because guess what? We all could decide in this moment. Maybe we can't do tshuva from everything that we did, but in one moment we could decide we're going to be part of Knesset Yisrael. We're going to commit ourselves. So you know how it could be? Lashana hazos ba'arat Yisrael? If we really develop that connection to the klal. And so this might fit with, and I didn't see it inside yet because I was just talking yesterday to Rabbi Stromer, who was telling over a piece from a Chalban. He says, Mo avora zos lachem, the Rosh is kafar be'ikor because lafisha hotzi es atzmo min haklal. The klal, that level of Knesset Yisrael, that's where the geula is. If you're hotzi es atzmo min haklal, so taka, you're missing the whole thing. You're not going to get the geula. This is not what the Chalban says, but this is the connection. So we have to believe that we could have geula at any moment because there is this level of perfection of the klal. What's happening in Israel? People are devoting themselves to the klal. Even Nebuch people who don't have any connection to Torah and mitzvos, maybe they haven't put on tefillin ever, but many of these Jews are moser nefesh mamish for the klal. That's the madrig of the klal. And that's the zchus of the geula miyad. So to appreciate those people, to realize that's a level to strive to. And this brings us to the second level of this idea of emphasizing the klal over the prat, as we see the entire transition of the evening from Maskil Beginus Umasayim Be Shevach. Exactly. When did the Geula begin? The Geula began when? In what time period? In the night. But when did we actually leave? In the day. Hayom Atem Yotzim. So Par said to us at midnight, he said, get out. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Medrash says, no, we're not going to go at night like a bunch of thieves running away. We're going to go out. Ubnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah. When did they leave? In the morning. The next day. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The transition that's happening from Golos to Geula is the transition from night to day. In a certain sense, that's kind of what we're actually doing at the Seder. We're taking what is the night. Is night a time to do standard mitzvos? Do you shake a lulav at night? Do you sing halal at night? Do you, right? But on the Seder night, Laila Kayom Yar, we're making it into day through Geula. So Rav Kook, a lot of Rav Kook today, because we're talking about Knesset Yisrael on the level of Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kook has a line where he explains that this transition from night to day, this transition from Erev to Boker, from Golos to Geula, from Gnus to Shevach, from the Choshech to the Or, he says that is the transition from the Prat to the Klal. What do we have in Golos? Just even on a practical level. This idea is in the Ein Hayah in Brachos and Daf Nun Beis. What do we have in Golos? We have kosher restaurants, delicious, mahadrim. We have shuls, we have mikvaos, we have Judaica stores, we have Tehillim groups, we have all the accoutrements of what you need to do to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the different channels. The problem is that these are all on the level of the prat. They're all just individual channels. They're not something larger. There's no greater whole. No matter how many minyanim there are going to be in Shtiblach, in Borough Park, and no matter how mehudar your matzah is going to be this year from wherever you purchase that matzah, that experience in Golos is all on the level of the prat. Even Jewish communities, we are just a collection of yechidim, of individuals. This is not a tzibur, it's a shutfus. But Eretz Yisrael is a different thing. Eretz Yisrael is the level of the klal, of an identity which transcends the individuals. This is why the Gemara says, Ein tzibur meis, the Gemara in Horius, the Daf Gimel. The first right there. There's something which is transcendent about the community of Israel, Knesset Yisrael. The only place you can have that, the Rambam says in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, is in Israel, is in the land of Israel. Everywhere else, we're just transient. We make a makeshift life for ourselves. And by the way, what has history shown? Every time we make a good life, a good miskeret, we have all the things, the Avar Arba Aratzos, we are reminded that there are pogroms and there are challenges because it's not our home. So to whatever extent we make our Chevra Hatzalah and our Chevra Kaddish and all the important Vadat Stakas, all the things that we do, they're all on the level of the Prat. They're all in the level of B'machshakim Hoshivani, Zeh Talmud Bavli. We're groping in the dark, so we have a little piece of this and a little piece of that. But it's Judaism in the dark. It's nighttime Judaism. That's what the Ramban writes in Parashas Achrimos, that we're just going through the motions. Why are we going through the motions? Because we're on the level, Rav Kook says, on the level of the Prat. But when we transition, moving from the Prat to the Klal, we're moving to that state of Boker, of Yavo Yom, that's going to be the Or Yom, the day of the Klal. That's what we're aspiring to. So now you can start to realize from this perspective, to when we say Hodel Hashem, when we say Hallel, to thank the Ribbono Shalom for putting us in a situation that we're moving right now from the place of the Prat to the place of the Klal. We're in that journey. We're in that stage. That's why the Talmud Yerushalmi describes that the Geula Hasidah is going to be like the morning light, which is that slow, gradual illumination at dawn. Kima, kima, the Yerushalmi says. What an amazing thing. And many of us, if we've had the privilege to be in Israel, you feel that. You feel that you're in a klal, and that it's qualitatively different, even than being in Williamsburg or Borough Park, or a place which is, you know, an island of Jews. There's no island of Jews that's the same as Israel. Because that is the level of the klal. We're not fully there yet. And part of what maybe we're looking at on the news is the national process, that sticky, complicated, painful, thorny, difficult transition of breaking out of all the pratim to get to the level of the klal, which is hard. And we see that a lot of pratim are struggling. But the idea that Rav Kook says is that or is synonymous with klal, that yom is synonymous with the collective, we're seeing that or being more and more revealed in our time. So we have to recognize that. We have to say thank you to the Ribbono Shel Olam for that, whatever that is. The Aruch HaShulchan brings us to the third point. The Aruch HaShulchan of Yechiel Michal of Navardik, he notes that the Seder in Bnei Brak is somewhat unusual. Because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if you want to go to Bnei Brak, it's because you want to go to the house of Rabbi Akiva. But if you want to go to the other Tanaim, you go elsewhere. So why are they going to Rabbi Akiva's house? So this is very important. You know, they lived at a time that was extremely dark. They're living during the Hadrianic persecutions. There's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Korban Pesach. And there was a feeling of despondency. What happens when you look around and you see Nebuch, a lot of challenges? Tzigizent. Baruch Hashem, it's much better than it ever was in the last 2,000 years. But what happens when a person can't see forward, can't see a path forward, to the Geula. Can't see it. There's so much darkness. There's so many difficulties. So what do we need to do? We need to go to Bnei Brak, to the house of Rabbi Akiva. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you know why? Because what happened when Rabbi Akiva saw a Beis HaMikdash that was raised and foxes running out of the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the last Gemara Maseches Makos? What did Rabbi Akiva do? He laughed. He laughed because he says, true, Taka, it's so broken now. But you know what? I know that it's going to get better. And so all the other Chachamim, they were mamish so broken. What they saw was total destruction. What many people see, and there are things to see today that we shouldn't see, lo aleinu, in Israel, that are, they're a churban. Just look on the Temple Mount. There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach this year. There's a mosque. And other things, lo aleinu. You know, we don't have to articulate them. That's not a good etzah. But what do you need to do on the night of the Seder? We need to let go of that. We need to all go and hold hands with Rabbi Akiva, who's going to tell us it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And you know what? After they sat with Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says in Makkos, Akiva nichamtanu. What does the word nechama mean? So it means to console. But what does the word console mean? What does it mean to console someone? When the Ribbono Shel Olam says, nichamti, I nichamti that I created man. Or nichamti vayivarecheni Hashem biglalecha. I'm sorry, that's nichashti. Nichamti, right before Noach comes around, what does the Baruch Shem say? Nichamti. So what does it mean, nichamti? I was consoled? No. It's a problem. Nechama means a change of perspective. For someone who had a loss, consolation means they have a new perspective. They appreciate that person's life. They have a new way of thinking about that loss. They realize they can move on. They're not going to be paralyzed forever. They're going to be able to get up off the floor. Nechama, consolation, is another word for a shift of perspective. Ki nechamti ki asisim, Hashem says, I change my perspective on the fact that I created man. I have a new perspective. Now, obviously, the Rosh doesn't change his perspective. It's a figure of speech. Nechama is a change of perspective. I change my perspective that I created man. I change my perspective. So Rabbi Akiva, by holding hands with all the Chacham and telling them it's going to get better, they say, Nechamtanu, you gave us a new perspective, a better way to look at this. It doesn't mean it will get better tomorrow. There's no guarantees, but it can get better tomorrow, and it will get better at some point. There will be a geula. It's a very long lila, but there will be a geula. When a person looks at the news, sometimes the news can be very discouraging. You look at the news, and you can feel like there's a shul yotzim beis kodesh hakadoshim. Rabbi Akiva says, let's hold hands. It's going to get better. Sometimes you have to laugh at the news, shtickle, right? Rabbi Akiva's mitzachik. Don't give up hope. Hold on to the hope of the future. That's number three. Ha'ara number four is, where does this hope come from? Where does the hope come from? The Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, when they were sitting in Bnei Brak, where did the hope come from? They were talking, B'yitzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oso Halayla. So, Rabbi Dr. Aaron Adler, he lives in Israel. He wrote a book on his conversations with Rav Soloveitchik. So he writes, there was Rav Soloveitchik delivered a drasha before Pesach once, and he says, what does it mean that these chachamim were misaprim b'yitzias Mitzrayim kol oso halayla? It means that the Torah giants of each generation are deeply concerned throughout the long night of the exile about the fate of the nation. So Rabbi Adler was a young man. He said to Rav Soloveitchik, can I continue your drasha? He went over to talk to him afterwards. He said, I asked the Rav permission for me to continue on this homiletic theme. It would ultimately be the students, not the teachers, who would usher in the redemptive era. And he says he went on Aliyah. He went on a pilot trip in 1978. He saw himself as part of that. Sometimes it's the Talmidim who need to come and knock on the door of the Rabbeim and say, Higi Azman Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. The Rabbeim, because of their greatness in Torah, because of their worry and their focus on the tzar of the tzibur, maybe there are things that they don't even see. You know what's fascinating? When the Germans were rolling into Eastern Europe, and then when the Russians took over much of the eastern half of Poland, and there was a big upheaval, so Reb Chaim Ozer Grzesinski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the Gaon Adir at that time after the passing of the Chafetz Chaim in 1933, Reb Chaim Ozer was recognized as the Gadol Hador. So after the Ribbentrop-Molotov Pact in 1939, so the Russians took over all of Eastern Poland, and the Germans took over all of Western Poland. There was a big Bahala was going on. So Reb Chaim Ozer said all the yeshivas should come to Vilna. So they did. And one of those yeshivas that was draying around in Poland trying to get themselves together was the Mir Yeshiva. So the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva said, we got to go to Vilna, and we got to resettle like the other yeshivas. But the Talmidim in the Mir Yeshiva were the ones who resisted. It was the Talmidim of the Mir Yeshiva who insisted to the Rabbeim that we have to get out of here. They were the ones who came up with the initiative. Initially, the Rosh Yeshiva were resistant to this idea. But Achebo Talmideim v'omelem higiyaz man kriyash mashal shachris. So the Rebbe Shalom sent them a man, Sugihara, who was the Poel Yeshua's Befoal, to get these visas, to send them on the Trans-Siberian Railroad to end up in Shanghai. But where did it come from? It came from the Talmidim. You know, we see in the previous generations that in Europe, very often it was the young people who were pushing the older generation to say, we need to make a move. Achibo Talmideim. It's true, of course, the Rabbeim are the Gedolei Torah, they're the Einei Ha'am, but sometimes it's going to take the Talmidim to knock on the window and say, Rebbe, Higi Azman Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. We got to make this move. It's not coincidental that there were many young people, many Talmidim, who were so far from Judaism, you could barely even call them Talmidim. But they were knocking on the door of Knesset Yisrael, saying to the Rabbeim, Rabosai, Higi Azman Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. It's time. It's time to build a state. It's time to build a land. It's time to go home. We've seen this in our own day. Amazing. We saw it in the Mir Yeshiva. We see it in the land of Israel. The recognition that sometimes Higi Azman Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis is going to come from the Talmidim. We move forward to the four sons, to the Arba Banim, and of course this is the easiest layup. When I was thinking about putting these ideas together, so who did I connect with? My very close chaver, one of my best friends in the whole world, Rabbi Eli Michel. So he and I were going over WhatsApp. He's the editor of the Mizrahi magazine. Shameless plug for my good friend. So Rabbi Michel, he was sending me a bunch of ideas on WhatsApp for these themes, for this presentation. So he said, obviously, the four sons, that's a layup. Because you know, in Israel, you have four sons. You have four different kinds of Jews. This was articulated in a very dramatic fashion a few years ago by a man that we met. His name is Rabbi Benji Levine. Shall live and be well. He's the Rav of a historic shul in Yerushalayim, his grandfather's shul, Rabbi Levin's shul, a historic shul that was founded by the underground fighters. So years ago, Rabbi Benji Levin did a one-man theatrical presentation of the four faces of Israel. Now he's older, he doesn't do that anymore. But he still, if you have a chance, if you go to Israel, it's kedai to connect with him, spending a few hours with him, telling stories about his grandfather and the old times Yerushalayim is amazing. He's a brilliant storyteller. So he used to have this Hatzagah, the four faces of Israel, and there are four different kinds of Jews, you know. And the Rebbe Shalom tells us we need all four Jews at the Seder. That's what we need. That's what the Gemara tells us, that the Ketores had 11 spices, and one of those spices was the Chelbana. The Chelbana, we don't know exactly what it is, but it's some foul-smelling, you know, ingredient. So the Gemara says, What do you need? Foul smelling ingredient. Because the Gemara says, Kol tainis she'ein ba miposhe Yisrael. If you have a fast day when the congregation gets together and you don't have poshim, poshim are rebels, right? Chatam are people who make mistakes, okay, careless. Avonos are, okay, we made a mistake, but we should have done better. We knew we were doing the wrong thing, but we weren't. Like, lahachis, a poshea is pshoim, when we say that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, when we're, that's the worst level, mamish. And yet, if you have a tinus and the poshim don't come, we're missing out. If Shechter Shlita once pointed out, he says it's sad that we don't have situations like they had years ago when he was growing up. His father is a rabbi in Pennsylvania. He used to remember when they would have duchening on Yontif, Kohanim would go up to duchen, and there was change jingling in their pocket. So he said, so sad that we don't have that today. No one has a shul where there are, you know, Fruma Yidin and Fry Yidin. We lost them. We lost the guys who were working on Shabbos, used to daven in the Hashkama Minyan, in many places. Not everywhere, but you know where you have this? You have this in Israel. You have this in Israel, where on Erev Pesach, you have guys, they never put on tefillin their whole life. You have women, their farthest thing, they never lit Shabbos candles even. But they're going to go to Machane Yehuda on Erev Pesach to buy a box of matzahs. There was this study a few years ago, they did a demographic study, one of these sociological surveys in Israel. The number of people who make a Seder is humongous. It's totally disproportionate to their level of observance. Even people who are making a Seder with tray food, they're not kosher, but they have a Seder. That's the kind of Seder that their Baal Shalom wants. And instead of looking at this people, this group of people, Nebuch, who is either mamish and the gedra of poshim, or they're not on our level of hiddur, they don't have every hiddur that we have, and spitting on them and throwing them away, we should realize how beautiful it is. So there was a video going around last week from the Hafganot, you know, in Bnei Brak. People came out, they're serving chalent, they're singing Am Yisrael Chai, they're trying to hold hands. Of course there are differences. And maybe you don't want to sit too close to the Russia at the Seder. Give him a little space. But ain bam miposhi Yisrael ain atinus. To realize the value of every Jew, we look around at Israel today, we say, Dayenu, that we have every Jew, at least in Israel, we have every Jew at the Seder table. And that's an exaggeration, but be'ikaron, we're all at the Seder table. Now, this is not the most, you know, it's a hotly contested Seder table. It's not the most, you know, amicable, but at least, if you don't have Kol Tani Shein Bo Moshe Yisrael, you don't have anything. Makas Bechoros, Ha'ara number 6. We're going till 10, we're going to make it. The difference between the 10th plague, Makas Bechoros, and the others, is that each of the other plagues was meant to teach a lesson of Emunah, of course, especially the way that they're broken up, the Tzach, Hadash, and Be'acha, but Beis is categorically different. Hinani Horeg is Bincha Bechorecha. Why? Because it's meant to identify and isolate the Hakdasha, the Kedusha of Bini Bechori Yisrael. So now we have a situation where Jews have their own country. And we have to speak proudly, Klape Umos Ha'olam, vis-a-vis the rest of the world. So what does it mean? What do you tell people? You have non-Jewish co-workers, you have neighbors, they say to you, are Jews racist? B'ni B'chori Yisrael, you're better than everybody else? So the term B'chor is very precise. It's very precise. Hinini Horig is B'ncha B'chorecha, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, relates to a person's B'chor. So let's use, we have, just the Baal Shem brought today, your very own show and tell example of a B'chor, theoretically. Let's say, and now, Baruch Hashem, we're not at this level. But imagine years ago, someone had a Bechor in their house. And this Bechor, maybe his name was Chaim. And he's playing outside with other children in the family who are not Bechorim. In Halacha, the child in the family that's not the Bechor is called the Pashut, the simple one, the regular one. So Baruch Hashem, in our family, we have one Bechor, just one. And then we have four Pshutim. For non-Bechor children. So let's say, God forbid, The children were playing in the backyard. And one of the non-Bechor children fell off the swing. And they hit their head. And they were bleeding profusely. And coming through the back door saunters the Bechor. He comes in the kitchen. He opens the refrigerator. He takes out the bottle of Fresca. He starts pouring himself a glass of Fresca. And there's ice. You know, you can't drink it without ice. Meanwhile, you hear howling from the backyard, screaming. So you say to the Bechor, "What's going on out there?" And the Bechor says, "Oh, so-and-so fell off the swing and cracked his head on the cement." So you'd say, "Okay." And the Bechor says, "Don't worry, he's a pashut. Don't worry, he's a pashut. I'm the Bechor, you don't have to worry about that." How would that go over? The Rebbe Shlom says, "Look, I created a lot of human beings. Every human being is B'Tselem Elokim. We have one family member, one child, that's the Bechor. That child has the Achrayas, Ben Karadavu, that Achrayas, to take care of the younger children, to look out for them, to be a role model for them. If the Bechor says, 'Oh, I don't care if the other child cracks his head open on,' you'd say, 'What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?' So we have an achrayas klapi the umos ha'olam on the level of the prat, but now on the level of the klal, so the state of Israel. When you have an earthquake in Turkey, what happens? What happens? Do we say, 'Oh, Turkey, goyim, shkutzim'? No, we say, 'Bechor.' You know what the Bechor has? The Bechor is bigger, the Bechor is stronger, the Bechor has a driver's license, right? So what does the Bechor do? The Bechor says, 'I'm going to help that. I'm not going to wait for the parents. I'm going to get right in it.' So there's this guy. His name is Golan Vach. The Kollel is going to bring him as a guest. And it's a Hashem master. Pesach, I was in touch with him. Amazing guy. He's like, you go on YouTube. He looks mamish like. Frum guy. Yarmulke like glued to his totally bald head. He could bench press all of us in one fell swoop. He's the head of the IDF rescue unit. So where does he go? He takes his chevra. They go to Turkey. Help people. B'nei Bechori Yisrael does not mean that we spit on the goyim, the pshutim. It means we try to help them. We're meant to be an orla goyim. So if we set up a society that's a model, so that's the ultimate goal of l'sakein olam u'malchus shakai. When the terrible tragedy happened in Surfside, this guy, Golan Vach, with his guys, you saw the news? You remember seeing the news? They were making unbelievable, like they had a whole parade for them when they left, the Israeli researchers. And they didn't go there because there were three Chabad Hasidim, Chabad guys, you know, from the shul. That's not why they went. They went because America, the great America, needed help with rescue. So they sent a team. And when there's an earthquake in Haiti, Lo Aleinu, and Sri Lanka, and all these farvarfana places, who goes there? Who sets up a tent? Medinas Yisrael. That's what it means. B'nei Bechori Yisrael. We were chosen for a purpose, for a goal to be an Or LaGoyim. And so the goal, what we need to do, is Mirtz Hashem, we need to all go to Israel and be a part of the process to enable our country, our homeland, our Medina, to be that Or LaGoyim. Is it perfect? I'm not going to speak badly about anything. But even if it's not perfect, but look at the opportunity that we have now to be an Or LaGoyim that we never had before. In Poland, in 1842, we didn't have the opportunity to be an Or LaGoyim. We had an opportunity to be the victim of constant persecution. You know? The way that we related to non-Jews in that context is very different because we had been suffering at their hands for centuries. But now we can mamash be that Bechor to take care of everyone, to teach them what it means to live by ethical, moral values. B'nei Bechor Yisrael, we see that in our day like we never saw before. But this also enables us to think about the seventh Ha'ara, which is the Korban Pesach, which is that there is a specific bris There is a covenant that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there are a lot of people in the world, and my friend Rabbi Michel thought his ha'ara on this was that this is part of the struggle in Israel today, from his perspective, about the nature of particularism. Korban Pesach means there is a bris. B'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi. There's bris milah and there's the bris of Korban Pesach. Whenever you want to establish a national covenant for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need a Korban Pesach. So you have Chizkiyahu who did this, Yoshiyahu who did this, and of course Pesach Mitzrayim. That's what creates, that's the Yetzirah's Klal Yisrael, that's a bris. Well, whenever you have a particular relationship, that means that that is exclusive in certain ways. That's Kiddushin. And that makes some people who aren't yet tapped into the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes them uncomfortable. Perhaps part of the struggle today in Israel is this inyan of Korban Pesach. To what extent are we mishchu kachu? We're drawing ourselves away. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be part of the world, but he also wants to be apart from the world. The Korban Pesach says, mishchu kachu. We're not like everybody else. We're not goy kachol hagoyim, am kachol ha'amim. We're not just another state in the United Nations. We're separate. We're different. And so what Rabbi Michel was telling me is that from his sense, part of the struggle today is to what extent is the Jewish state Israeli and to what extent is it Jewish? Jewish means distinctive. It means Pesach. It means separate. Israeli means there's Israeli and then there's Sudanese and there's Bosnian and there's, you know, Israel. It's a state. And to bring us to a place where people can appreciate that there's no comparison. We're not just Am Kachol Ha'amim. We are different. Now, that differentiation goes back to the B'ni B'chori. But to realize that this is not the state of Israel, it's not just Israeli, that from our perspective, as Torah Jews, it's Jewish. Now, a Jewish state has a lot of, you know, understandings and ways of relating to things, but that's the core. When we create our national identity, which is the Chag of Pesach, the creation of Klal Yisrael as a nation, not just a clan from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but a nation, that nation which is destined to go to the land of Israel, the origin story is the Pesach Mitzrayim. And that there is a special bond that we have, and that state, which is going to be shaped through David and Shlomo, and then later Ezra and Nehemiah, it's a Jewish state. And that's our destiny. That's the particularism of Pesach. But also to realize, Ha'ara number 8, the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu at the end of the Seder. This bracha is, interestingly, a composite bracha. The Gemara says, in the end of Pesachim, there's a machlokas in the Tanoim, what should be the nusach bracha? And we paskin, we're going to include the future geula, the future redemption. We said, Asher Ga'alanu v'gol esavuseinu Mitzrayim. And then what do we say? Kain tagienu. We pray for the future. We recognize that there was a geula, and that there will be a geula. The mitzvah, there, according to the Smak, one of the great Balei Tosfos in the Rishonim, there's a mitzvah of Tzipisli Yeshua, the mitzvah of believing in the redemption comes from Anocha Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. He took us out once, he's going to take us out again. But there's a difference. Even though we know Ki Meitzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Nuflos, but the pasuk already tells me in Yirmiyah, Lo Yomar Od Chai Hashem Harsho Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The future geula is going to be different than it was in the days of Egypt. Don't be surprised that the geula process that we're living in now is different than Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because you could ask, what kind of geula is this? In Yitzias Mitzrayim geula, it was like unbelievable open miracles. It was crazy amazing. There was lightning with thunder, there's frogs, there's blood, they're splitting the sea. Now we don't have any of that. The answer is because it's going to be different, this pasuk says in Yirmiyahu. So there's an amazing Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar points out that even though Avram Avinu's name was changed from what it was previously, we don't talk about that prior name anymore. But Yaakov's name remains the same. So in that context, he says the Geula Hasida is going to be different. Based on the opinion that we're all going to do tshuva in the time of the Geula, it was because we were on such a low level in Mitzrayim that we needed the crazy miracles. It was Dafka because we were at the Memtes Shari Tumah that the Rebbe Shlom had to do all of these spectacular miracles. But says the Kli Yakar of Ephraim Lemunchitz on the bottom of the Mikros Gedolos Chumash, he says the Geula Hasida, it doesn't need to be supernatural. It can be a Geula Hativis based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki lo b'chipazon teitzu. We're not going to go out in that hurried run, grab and go. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be a slow, deliberate process. Why? Because we're going to be on a much higher madrega. So it's true, maybe we're going to be kulo chayav or kulo zakai, different approaches. But the idea that it's okay that the geula today is different than the geula than it was back in Mitzrayim. What we're davening for is not necessarily open miracles. We're davening for the Ribbono Shel Olam perhaps to create this new unfolding geula, to help us all see the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that it should become a natural progression. That's what the Kli Yakar says. It's not going to be the same type of geula. And to be able to recognize that we are in the process of geula. This is what, when the State of Israel was founded, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of Gedolei Yisrael, they signed a letter that the establishment of the State of Israel was the Nitzanim Harishonim Shelo Aschalta de Geula. It was the first buds, the first sparks of the beginning of the redemption. It's not perfect. Got a long way to go. But that could happen any moment. But to realize that this Geula is different. We needed the Geula of Kipazon for the initial transformation, for the Yetzira, but for the ultimate end of the story, it's a different kind of Geula. The Asher Ga'alanu Bracha has two Geulas. The first Geula is the Geula of Chipazon. The second Geula, that's the Geula Asida, that's the Geula of patience. Two final Ha'aros. The first is that Moshe Rabbeinu, as you could tell, is absent from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Haggadah. We only have one oblique reference, but that's it. And the question is why? And I think this is an important takeaway. Moshe Rabbeinu played an outsized role in practice in the Yetzias Mitzrayim in terms of leading the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu, from a young age already, was the ultimate activist. He's carrying the stick. He's seeing the Egyptian. And what does he do? He sees injustice. He kills him. He stands up to Paro. Then he realizes he can't be successful in this environment. So he runs away. And the Rebbe Shlom says, okay, now it's time to plan the resistance. So you're going to go back. And he stands up to Paro. And he goes with a stick. And he does all the all the things. So why don't we give him credit in the Haggadah? Perhaps because the Rebbe Shlom wants us to understand at the end of the day, we're just meant to do a hishtadlus. But we need to recognize that the results and the ultimate unfolding, it's on him with a capital H. We can't get confused. We can't be misled by thinking that, wow, you know, Menachem Begin, the guy was unbelievable. He risked his life. He came out of the incarceration and the hell of the Holocaust and it broke and destroyed, inflames Europe. And he runs around smuggling arms and making deals. And then you have Ben-Gurion, amazing courage, you know, going with his fluffy hair and taking on the rest of the world, announcing the State of Israel, and a bunch of ragtag guys with no training. Amazing ishtadlus. But the Haggadah says, you have to take a pause. You have to take a pause. Of course, Begin was amazing. And of course, Ben-Gurion was amazing. Everybody has challenges and everybody's complicated. But these people, they did amazing ishtadlus. And you know, Herzl and all of the secular guys, amazing, amazing, all amazing. But that's not the one force that's driving the whole story. If we put Moshe Rabbeinu into the Haggadah, we could get the misimpression that it's human activism that is ultimately responsible for what needs to be done. Part of the Masorah that Rav Soloveitchik articulated in his Mizrahi Drushos in the 1950s was that we need to have a human initiative. This is the message of Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim, and this is the message that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Moshe Rabbeinu. Why didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam just tell Moshe Rabbeinu, guess what? I'm going to clear everybody out, and it's going to be fine. I'm going to give Nevuah to everybody. I'm going to do it. Why do you have to go with a stick and make a snake out of the stick and the blood and the whole thing, all the shtick? Why do you have to do that? The Ribbono Shel Olam could have just shown it. The answer is because he wants us to take initiative. He wants us to bring out our potential. That's the concept Ramban says about Nes in general. Min HaKoach LePoel. He wants us to do something. But at the end of the day, we have to know Ein Od Lovado. It's Aniv Lo Malach, Aniv Lo Shliach. That's what it comes back to. Because if you forget that, you totally became derailed. You lost sight of the ultimate goal of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is not in the Haggadah to remind us that as much as Moshe was amazing, and Lahavdil Elif Avdolos, Moshe with the patch, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't speak well. There was another Moshe Rabbeinu who came later on. He had an eye patch. You saw pictures of him. Remember that guy? He's also Moshe. He also led a big army of people. But that's not the Ikar. The Ikar is an evil Malach. Not to get confused, not to idolize military heroes or political heroes. No Bnei Adam cloud out the ultimate goal, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, on this night, to realize the historic period that we are living in with the Ma'aseh Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. At the Piyut, at the end of the Haggadah, Oz Rov Nisim Eflei Sabalayla, what do we go through? The whole litany of things that happened on the night of Pesach. So you have the Chizkiyahu story, you have Avram Avinu's story. So I'll end where we began with the Haggadah Pesach Eretz Yisrael is from Rav Kasher. This European Gaon writes in the end of the Haggadah, he says, B'yameinu anu b'yudalad Nisan tafshin ches. On the 14th of Nisan and tafshin ches, u'beleil Pesach or letes vav. On the night of Pesach, the night of the 15th, zachinu liros yad Hashem b'nisim v'yeshuos shenasu li'Yisrael ba'oso layla. We merited to see the miracles of the hand of God on the night of Pesach Mitzrayim, on the night of the 15th, Shenich Bisha Kol Ha'ir Haifa. When was Haifa conquered? When were we victorious in Haifa in the War of Independence? 1948 was the night of Pesach. Shehi HaMafteach, says Rav Kasher, that's the Mafteach, L'chol Ha'aretz. Amru, they said, Im Haifa Nichbeshes. If Haifa, which is a port city, of course, that's the place of entry. If Haifa is conquered, kol ha'aretz nechbeshes. V'ze simen la'aschalta de geula. It's a simen for the aschalta de geula. So to realize that list of nisim that Hashem did over all the generations is not done. We're in the middle of it. The night of the 15th, I did not know this until I read this Haggadah. I was ignorant. I didn't know that Haifa was taken on the night of Pesach. And we're going mamish miyagon l'simcha. You know that the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising started on Erev Pesach, lo aleinu. And we know where that ended. Just a few short years later, we go mamish me'afela l'ora, to the mafteach, to Haifa being liberated. So to summarize, we covered 10 ha'aros as it relates to what we're experiencing now today in Eretz Yisrael, with Am Yisrael, in Medinas Yisrael. We talked about the fact that we can have geula at any moment by connecting to the tzibur from Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap. The idea of Rav Kook that or is synonymous with the kalal, the collective. That is the essence of geula. The hope of Rabbi Akiva in difficult times and the role of Talmideim, Shigiu, they told us that it's the time has come. Recognizing the role of the Rasha, the importance of having all four sons in the Seder, and that the Makas Bechoros, that ultimate Bechira of Klal Yisrael, is for the purpose of being that Orla Goyim, to raise everyone else up, to bring them closer to the day that everyone sees Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. To be proud and unabashed about the fact that we have a particular role to play and that we have a unique bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pesach particularism, to look forward to have the emuna of the Asher Ga'alanu and realize that that second Geula, the Kli Yakar says, is going to be different than the first, to notice the absence of Moshe Rabbeinu to remind us that ultimately it's Einod Movado, everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to see that hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu today in our world with the development of the miracles that we have experienced by Yama Mahim Bazman Azeh. We know that Asher Ga'alanu, that's a bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. So the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim, of the fact that we have the miracles Bazman Azeh, to appreciate the Tov, the Dayenu. Each step is Dayenu, it's not perfect. We would have said Dayenu at every step, even if it wasn't perfect. So to say Dayenu for the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us on a klal level, with what we have today in the year 2023, Dayenu, Ashreinu, Matov, Chalkeinu. And a chag kosher, b'sameach.